You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
This is Kristen Farag for the Art World Demystified, and I'm here with Andreas Heuser, curator of the No Show Museum. Following the success of last year's European tour with approximately 30 exhibitions in 20 countries and a closing presentation at the 56th Biennale of Venice, the No Show Museum is on tour across America from August to October 2016. It most recently made a stop at the Scrap Metal Gallery in Toronto. Andreas, thank you for being with us today.
Welcome. Looking forward.
So maybe to begin with, you can give me an idea of what is a no-show museum?
The no-show museum is the first museum of nothing and its various manifestations throughout art history.
So the museum of nothing?
Yes, it's all about nothing. So I collected all kind of artworks that are connected with this concept or this idea of nothing. Can be, for example, that artists had the opportunity to exhibit something and then they decided just to show nothing as their contribution to an exhibition. Or it can be that artists worked with invisible material, so maybe made sculptures with invisible material, with gas or air or whatever, so you cannot see anything. Or it can be that, like, you start with something as an artist and you destroy it until it comes to the point where it becomes nothing. So I also like I try to give like these different or structure the idea of nothing into these different ways how you can approach nothing.
So when you say art history, really you're talking about art history for the last 100 years? Is it just been in the last while that artists have explored this idea of nothing? And why would that be? Why do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think like you can say that artists probably are dealing with nothing and the paradoxes of nothing as long as there is art. So it started way before the 20th century, but that we now can discuss nothing as a serious position or even an artwork itself. I think that started in the 20th century, and it started with Marcel Duchamp for me, because he invented this method of the ready-mades, where he took any ordinary object and he just by taking it out of the ordinary context where it is used and placing it into an art gallery or into an art context, he kind of converted that object into art. And he also showed that this very method is also possible to do it with invisible material. He proved that this works with air. So in 1919 he filled air into a glass ampoule. It was the air of Paris, and it was not about the form or the material of the glass ampoule. It was really about that content, or if you want, like the concept, the idea behind that manifestation that you cannot see.
So if you're going on tour with nothing, what does that entail? What is it that you're touring?
I mean, basically the museum is an attempt to provide like an institutional frame for nothing, because it's very difficult. It's a paradox. It's as soon as we try to talk about nothing or even think nothing, it kind of like disappears, or it becomes something. It's always like somewhere else than where we want to have it. So the idea is like to provide an institution where we can now discuss about nothing and kind of see it, and so my approach was first how should a museum for nothing look like? Is it just like a space, like a normal museum somewhere? And for me it was clear that it should have like a special form, because it's a very special concept. But then on the other hand, I didn't want to just copy that kind of minimalistic aesthetic that is often combined with the idea of nothing. I thought like the institution, actually they want to make people aware that nothing exists, so it should be visible. So I came more to this idea of making really like colorful and like pop art kind of appearance. Mm-hmm. And so the first manifestation of the museum was this virtual collection that is available online on noshowmuseum.com. And it's more or less structured like a normal museum. You'll find their floor plans, and in on that floors there are artists, the works of artists that kind of are connected or related to each other, the works.
Mm-hmm.
And the different floors are dedicated to these different approaches towards nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose the internet as a platform because for me it has the same qualities or similar qualities to nothing. It's something that is kind of everywhere and at the same time nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And for me nothing has this quality because we all have an idea of nothing. We use the word every day.
Mm-hmm.
But if I would ask you to define nothing, you would probably start struggling. If you really have to be precise, you realize it's a very it's a very deep concept, and it has many aspects, and it's really complex. And then, like, the second step was that I didn't want it only to be like virtual.
In this virtual museum, like, for example, what's on the second floor, for example?
On the second floor, you'll also find different themes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one room is called Exhibit Depot. In German it's Schaulager. I don't know how the correct translation is into English, but there the idea is that just have artworks that I cannot succeed in placing it somewhere else
in a category.
On a category. So, and then you have like one category is nothing as refusal and nothing as annihilation. And annihilation means like starting with something, destroying it until it gets nothing. A very nice example is, for example, John Baldessari that decided, I think it was in the 1970, to burn all his paintings that were still in his possession and make one piece out of it, a conceptual piece called Cremation Piece.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought that it was like his best piece so far that he did, or his most amazing piece.
Uh-huh.
So it only consisted in just burning everything that he did so far.
And so that was documented, and so a documentation of that.
That's already like a very interesting point. What makes documentation with nothing? Because like, and it's in a way like also a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to document nothing, then it's already like something. So some of these works are really going so far that they would afterwards destroy the documentation or not do any documentation at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then you maybe come even to the point where you ask yourself, maybe I shouldn't even announce it when I do the work, because that's also a trace that I leave. So there's something afterwards. And I mean, so that's then you come into spheres where it becomes really difficult to spot the art. And then it's obviously also difficult to talk about it when you don't know if it's happening or not. But conceptually and intellectually, I think these are interesting ways to think about art and doing art, dealing with nothing.
Mm-hmm. And so this virtual museum has many different artists that have taken a different approach to the idea of nothing, or have have destroyed their work or have...
Yeah, as I said, you have like this structure with the different themes of nothing. And there are, for example, artists that would only work with the word nothing or would make word pieces. So that for me was is nothing, a statement. I put it there.
Yes.
And I mean, there it's like not really nothing, because there's really like a text that you can read, a statement. But it's about nothing. They are dealing with this idea. And for example, if you take an artist like Stefan Brueggemann, a Mexican artist, then I think with his word pieces he actually comes quite close to nothing, because he tries to capture that paradox. For example, he has a lettering on the wall that says, "This is not supposed to be here." And then he puts this in a bracket, and sometimes he blows it up like really big, like a billboard advertisement. And I think that's kind of really capturing the essence of this paradox, because you try to do nothing, and just by doing it, it becomes something. You try to hide it, so it becomes nothing again. But it's also like a documentation of this failure, because it's really almost impossible to reach that point, to really do nothing. But that's just like an example. And then you have like really these core moments in the history of nothing, where, for example, Yves Klein, as the first artist, exhibited an empty room as his piece. And there's a whole floor only with these empty rooms from different artists. And interesting thing for me is that behind every of these empty rooms, there's a completely different idea or intention by the artist or concept.
So what is it about this that drew you to create this project?
I started doing art when I was young, so I was always like interested in art, and I was always also interested in Eastern philosophy and Buddhism, and went a few times to India, and so I mean I was always fascinated by these experiences that you can have during meditation, and these paradox concepts in Buddhism that try to bring you to a point where you actually experience nothing, but at the same time it's kind of impossible to do it there, at least if you try to do it intentionally. And then I studied philosophy, where it's also a big theme, nothing, as a concept. Like every big philosopher comes to the point where he talks about nothing. And I studied literature as well, where it's also, a theme. And then, like late, as a second studies, I did art school, and that was actually the beginning of the museum in a way, because for the master degree I had to define my artistic practice, and I did. To that moment, I mainly did artworks, like performances, happenings that were not gallery bound, but that where I used like the street and different like outside areas where I thought the artwork would have the most political effect, so that it creates attention, and I tried to make it like very provocative, so that the media would spread it, and I did few of these pieces where I also created like fictional organizations and characters that were intervening with real politicians, when I then had to reflect my artistic practice, I kind of said, okay, this is how I work and this is how I don't work. I don't do artworks just because I have the opportunity to exhibit in a gallery, and I can create the artworks there to get exposure, and especially when you do political art, in a gallery it's not really effective because then it's only the people that are on your side anyways and so and then the second part of the master's diploma was to participate in a group exhibition in a very classical sense, like a set date in a museum kind of arts institution. And I just thought it was a complete contradiction to how I said I work. Mm-hmm. And now I have to do for the first time something that I completely not do and don't want to do. So I said I cannot participate. And then I came to the idea, okay, my contribution to this group exhibition is actually that I do nothing as my contribution to that show. So with this turn, I thought like this was really like was unique. Mm-hmm. I thought, and it also draw a lot of attention, and the media were also writing about it because I'm now the art school. Will they give this artist a diploma for nothing, or do they like? Are they now afterwards like? Will they have like some problems with that? And what did I want to say? And then I just found out, obviously, like from the moment where I had this idea to do nothing, and I was really not present at any point of the show. I didn't go to the opening, nor to the end, nor to any discussion. I didn't went there for the diploma to receive it, so I didn't know if I get it or not. And I thought it was very like revolutionary. And then I started to do some research, and I found out that there were so many artists kind of doing similar or did similar works. That I was like so amazed by that I started to collect these works, and that was like kind of the beginning of this virtual archive that is now growing, and the beginning of the Notional Museum.
So this actual project that you're doing now, that you're taking on tour, in this project you have commissioned artists to create nothing.
Yes.
And if I describe that, I'm come to the museum, which it takes place in a bus, a recommissioned bus, and the audience comes and looks at a shelf with nothing, except for a description of what that what the artist meant by or means by that.
You know, the idea there is, I mean, to go one step back, because we were just talking about the virtual museum, so like the second step was to try to bring it back to reality. So, and then I didn't want to have just a room somewhere for this museum. I wanted to keep the quality of this nowhere and everywhere. That's why I came to this idea to convert a bus into a mobile museum. And now the plan is to travel all around the world with it and spread nothing all around the world. So last year I did like this European tour, now it's North American tour, then it will be South America next year, so it will go on. And in this bus, as you said, there's a special exhibition, and I asked for this special exhibition, I asked artists to give me impossible artworks. So when it's an impossible artwork, then it's clear it cannot be materialized. So there's nothing to see. So it's an aspect of how you can do nothing as an artist. And I got pieces by artists that were done before, and I got newly produced pieces for this show. And the what you see actually, what you just said as the text panels, it's not the idea, it's not that this is now the artwork. So this is just really only the label, as if you were in a normal exhibition, you always find these labels giving you just the name of the artist, the year, the title, and maybe like some description. And that's what it is. So it's not the artwork, the text panels, it's just a help to to see what is not there.
Right. The one that sticks in my mind, and tell me if I'm remembering it correctly, but there's one that's called something like an apology that is precariously balanced. And to me, I felt that was so poetic. Mm-hmm. The idea of, you know, perhaps you feel that you need to apologize mm-hmm. with somebody, and then as you're about to apologize, you realize that if you apologize, you may create the hurt, mm-hmm. and so you decide not to mm-hmm. apologize mm-hmm. and do nothing. But mm-hmm. anyway, I just that one mm-hmm. Really. Stuck in my mind. Yeah. That's how I interpreted yeah. that. I don't know yeah. if that's what the artist meant.
Yeah, I mean, that's for me also the fascinating point about this project, because I also don't know how the artist interpreted impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of these artworks are really that you try to imagine what is like the description of this artwork that is not there, and it's so contradictional or paradox that it kind of collapses in itself.
Mm.
For me, that's like the pure form of impossibility that's also already in your thought. It's not possible to mm. create it. But other artists, they interpreted it more in a maybe like it's impossible to do it with my means mm-hmm. Or financial possibilities, or it went more in a like a poetic direction, as the example that you said,
mm-hmm.
or even in a political direction, and that's for me like also fascinating to see how all these different artists, and there are like some big names in this show and some emerging artists, how do they like interpretate impossible art or nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you know, when you go to a museum and there's a, you know, a canvas that's painted white or something, mm-hmm. and people walk in, they go, "Is that's?" They mm-hmm. think it's sort of like the emperor with no clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. that the artist is either the artist is pulling the wool mm-hmm. over your eyes, or in making a joke mm-hmm. of you, mm-hmm. or the joke is on the artist,
mm-hmm.
Or they, you know, they feel that they're mm-hmm. being taken for a fool because they're being presented with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think artists, you know, visual artists, is visual art really the best way to explore the idea of nothing?
No, I wouldn't say, but I mean, what means visual art today? That's maybe mm. the question. And I think that's why I said like the history of nothing in art for me started with Duchamp, because he brought this conceptual idea that it's not about like that you have to be a master of your art and paint like very exactly, precisely what you see.
Mm.
But you can even not make the work yourself. You can just take any object, and this was in a way even pushed more to the extreme with the birth of conceptual art, with like the theories and also the practices of
mm-hmm.
Sol Lewitt and Lawrence Wiener, that declared that art doesn't have to be built. It can be, like, it might be constructed or mm-hmm. materialized, but it can also just stay in the mind of the artist. It can just stay a concept, and it's fine. All these ways of presenting or not presenting mm-hmm. an artwork are equal for a conceptual artist. And so when you have like this background of like the ready-made tradition and the conceptual art, and then you have like these tendencies of minimalism, which is more maybe the idea of finding the purest, most mm-hmm. precise form, and get rid of everything that is like not really necessary.
Mm-hmm.
When you have all these elements, I think you can start to understand and actually to appreciate a work that you at first think it's just boring. It's just like a white, it's an empty canvas. There's nothing
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is actually an artist, a Swiss artist that does that. He's called Bruno Jakob. He's a painter, but he only paints with thoughts, energy, light, air, only invisible material. So actually, there's no trace on the canvas. But his works are shown in the Biennale and in a very good gallery in Switzerland. So, and I think when you know the background a little bit more, like the history, it can actually be more interesting than looking at the conventional painting, where you see an image or something. And I got actually bored faster by these conventional artworks, but maybe it's because I'm dealing so much now with
ideas.
My view is a little bit focused on.
And on a very realistic, in reality, how do you make a project like this happen? So you have a bus. You go to different places. You're connecting with the different galleries and taking it around the world. And how do you find funding for a project like this?
I don't have any funding actually for this project, which in a way is beautiful because it's also nothing. But since a few years I managed to support myself as an artist and curator, and so I kind of cross-fund this project with other projects where I obviously get money.
Right, so it's privately funded, in other words, by yourself.
Yes.
The project.
Right.
And so next, what kind of response have you gotten as you take it around?
I do not only presentations in galleries or museums. It's part of the concept that I also drive to remote areas and even do exhibitions where there's nobody there, and I even do presentations there, or I try to find the perfect spot or the perfect place for artists that I have in the museum to present nothing by these artists. So there, obviously, there's no response because nobody's there. If I do the presentations in galleries or museums, it's different from when I do it just in a public space, where I only have like bypasses that just by coincidence discover it and ask and come inside, and actually I like that a lot, because often the people then are really the reactions are more extreme. Some are really shocked, some become angry not to see anything and others are really inspired, and they would start talking and trying to tell me their ideas or experiences with nothing. Maybe they related to an experience of loss or death, or they have their private philosophies around emptiness and nothing, and or maybe meaning. And when I do shows in art institutions, I can feel that people bring already like a background of art knowledge or art history. And it's also inspiring for me, because then I often do these presentations that are where I also offer afterwards to have questions and talks, and there like the discussions are obviously completely different, and it's I think like. There are often a lot of artists and curators in the audience, and I think they feel challenged by this thought of nothing, and they relate it to their own practice, and the questions that they have afterwards are also challenging for me, because it's often about what is art, like really like the core questions, or is this the right form to present nothing when there's actually so much to see at mm-hmm, the end,
mm-hmm,
no?
Mm-hmm.
And but actually the reactions so far are really like enthusiastic, I mm-hmm, can say in, mm-hmm. in general. The response is very well, and the shows are well attended, so mm-hmm. I'm happy about that.
So you're on your way now to America, mm-hmm. And then North America, heading mm-hmm. down towards Mexico. I guess as it gets colder in the north, you'll be heading to a warmer climate.
Yeah, I didn't plan it actually like that. It was just practical reasons, mm-hmm. because I have to be out of America within a year with the bus, because
yes.
I have only this special permit to mm-hmm. drive around with the Swiss number,
mm-hmm.
and then I have a friend in Mexico that lives there, and he said, "Yeah, I can leave the bus there,
uh-huh.
so I can continue next year and do the South America
right.
part."
What a great adventure!
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's a great way to engage with people that. In different places,
yeah.
on an idea.
Yeah, and that's also interesting for me to see the different reactions from different cultural backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I think the reactions were different here than when I did like the European tour, more in like in the East European countries, mm-hmm. or different from the like Scandinavian.
Mm-hmm. How would you define that?
It's difficult, but like in East Europe, I just think that you can see that there's like other artists and other positions were important for their art history. They have kind of another art history,
mm-hmm.
like they go through another way. And some of I was in some countries where this idea was quite. Of presenting nothing was quite like yes, it's of course it's not like something provocative,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because there was already like this quite long tradition that is known,
mm-hmm.
Even to like the general art, like
mm-hmm.
people with the general art knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and in other countries that were maybe more like traditional, where you still would in the art school maybe teach technique of mm-hmm. painting, where it was really like what is that, like and still
like
struggling with the like that you can work so conceptually that you can even say nothing is art.
Mm-hmm.
Then they maybe took it more like what you said before with the emperor with no clothes.
Yes.
Like, is that a joke? And
mm-hmm.
then just when we were talking, they realized, no, it's actually, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, like, for example, in Italy or someplace like that, would you say that would be the...
Mm. In Italy, I was doing it within the Biennale, so
oh,
there...
Uh-huh. Everything's
yeah, no,
open,
yeah. Yeah, they
uh-huh.
were quite open.
Uh-huh.
No, but, like, in places like Bratislava, for example...
Right.
Is actually just an hour away from Vienna, but I think the culture is very different.
Yes.
Or also like in some Baltic states, where I think they are catching up, I think, with contemporary art, but still like slowly and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Interesting. So what else are you working on besides nothing?
I run together with a friend. I run a project space in Zurich for transdisciplinary arts,
mm-hmm.
performative arts.
Yes.
So we have like silent movie screenings and concerts and
mm-hmm.
readings and stuff like that, but not like the classical way of like presenting art in a wide cube.
Mm-hmm.
And then I run a literary festival in Zurich
mm-hmm.
Once a year,
mm-hmm.
Which is quite successful, and that's also like one reason why I can do other stuff.
In between.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I manage a musician, and I also curate exhibitions in museums,
mm-hmm.
So I'm quite busy.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it. Well, I thank you very much for stopping into Toronto, and it was very
thank
nice
you.
To meet
it was
you,
a pleasure.
And good luck on the rest of your journey.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.